in your Bibles tonight. We have embarked on a journey of studying this all-important topic of spiritual gifts. See, every child of God has been gifted by God. You're part of the gifted and talented. I got left out of that, humanly speaking, all right? When they had that in high school, in junior high and high school, and all the people got invited, my wife got invited, and I got left out. You know, how many of you feel like you've got left out in some of those areas? You know what I'm talking about? Well, you know what? When it comes to this matter of spiritual gifts, you are gifted and talented by God. Every Christian in this building has a unique combination of spiritual gifts that God has blessed you, He's bestowed upon you, so that you might be used of Him in a unique and special way. And you say, "Preacher, I don't even know what it is." That's okay. As you understand what the spiritual gifts are, and you yield yourself to the Lord, you may discover your gift through all of this. You know what? You may never really know what your spiritual gift is, but here's what I do understand, that when you and I are yielded to the Spirit of God, and we're following His will, and we're serving Him, He works through our desires to place us exactly where He wants us to be, doing exactly what He wants us to do for His glory and for the good of others. And let's begin reading, if we could, please, in verse number 4. Could we do that? Notice what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 12. He says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." He's saying there's different kinds of gifts, and there's different combinations of those same gifts. But you know what? They all have come from the same source, and that's the Spirit of God who distributes the gifts. And there are differences of administrations. You know what? There may be a dozen people in this building, and you have the same spiritual gift. But how you utilize them based on who you are, your personality, your makeup, the person who God made you, is going to be different. Listen, while we've got maybe have the same gift, there will be different ministrations, how we use those gifts within the local body of believers. And then notice verse 6, "And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all." And here's what he's saying. There's different gifts that are used in different ways, but the same God empowers every gift so that they can be fruitful for Him. All right, verse 7. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man." There's nobody left out who's saved. Now listen, in your first birth, you may feel like you got left out of the gifted and talented category. But I can promise you, at your second birth, you didn't get left out. And the Bible said that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, that every Christian has some gift or some combination of gifts to profit with all. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit, to another faith, by the same Spirit, to another gift, the gifts of healing, by the same Spirit." Now immediately somebody's going to say, "Well, preacher, who has that gift? And is that gift for today?" We're going to answer that question a little bit later on in the study, probably sooner rather than later. Verse 10. "To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers or different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man," talking about saved men, "severally or sovereignly as He will." Look at verse 12. "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." I want to talk to you tonight. You're a gifted child, part 3. We're going to finish 1 Corinthians 12 tonight in this category of you being a gifted child. So let's pray, and we'll get right into the message. Father, I pray that You'll guide our thoughts tonight as we look at this great topic of spiritual gifts and understand, Lord, how You've gifted us to serve You. And Lord, that we would utilize those gifts and we'd stir them up. And Lord, that we would not allow them to remain dormant in our lives, but we would engage ourselves in the work of God, that we might be used of You in a great and wonderful way. Now, Father, give us understanding tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, I'm just going to quickly go through the main points tonight to get us started in the outline. We talked about the spiritual gift distinguished, and we distinguished between the gift of the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit that every Christian has, the person of the Spirit Himself, and then the graces or the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, gentleness. Everybody can have that. And you, matter of fact, you can have all 9 aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. And then there's the gifts of the Spirit, which is totally separate. Listen, the graces of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is a result of the Spirit's filling. All right, when He fills me, when I'm controlled by Him, He produces in my life the fruit, His fruit that gives me the character of Christ so that people can see Christ in me. The gifts of the Spirit, on the other hand, are a product of the Spirit's baptism, of being baptized by or with the Holy Spirit. Now, you know what? Everybody got baptized. You were baptized with the Holy Spirit when you got saved. Look, if you would, verse number 13 in our text, in 1 Corinthians 12. Notice what the Bible says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." See, when you got saved, I got saved, we were baptized by the Holy Spirit or with the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. He made us one with the Savior. So the Holy Spirit came to live within us. He made us a part of the body of Christ. He gifted us so that we could serve and function and fill our place within the body. And God says that every Christian has been baptized by the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. He said whether we are Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And so this is Spirit baptism that takes place the moment you get saved. You don't seek for it. You don't pray for it. It's not some kind of second blessing. You probably didn't even know it took place. But God, when He saved you, baptized you, or immersed you in the realm of the Spirit, that you might be placed into the body of Christ, and you were gifted to function within that body. Then secondly, we talked about what spiritual gifts are. They were described. They're not natural talents and abilities, but they're spiritual abilities to enable us to serve God. Then we defined what they are, and then differentiated in the different categories of spiritual gifts. And then number five, we talked about their distribution. Spiritual gifts distributed. We talked about the persons involved. In verses 4 through 6, you see all three persons of the Godhead. Third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, verse 4. Second person of the Trinity, God the Son, the Lord Jesus, verse 5. And I say verse 4, that's verse 4. Verse 5. And then God the Father, the first person of the Trinity, in verse 6, who energizes and makes those gifts effective and fruitful for Him. And then we saw the plan involved. All right? And we looked at that. And now I want you to see the purpose involved. Why did God give you a spiritual gift? Look at verse number 7. He said, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." That phrase, "profit with all," means to bring together. It carries the idea of mutual benefit and support. Let me just say this, and I want you to jot it down. Spiritual gifts are not given to be enjoyed, but to be employed. Do you understand that? They're not given to be enjoyed, but to be employed. All right? And so they're not toys, they are tools. And so spiritual gifts are not given to benefit ourselves. They're not for my benefit, but for the benefit of others. He said to profit with all. It's not for my profit, it's not to build me up, it's not to make me look good, it's not about me, it's about the body. All right? That's what he's saying. Alright, it's to bless and be a benefit to others. Now, you know what's interesting? This phrase, profit with all, we get our English word symphony from that word. In an orchestra, each instrument is supported and benefits from every other instrument. Now, I enjoy different kinds of instruments. I enjoy brass. I enjoy woodwinds. I enjoy all the different kinds of musical instruments. And my daughter, she's going to play a clarinet. Now, you know what? Clarinet is a wonderful instrument. But it's best when a clarinet is accompanied by other instruments, okay? And that's true of all kinds of other instruments that people play, all right? Well, you know, some of them they can stand alone, some of them they need other instruments along with them. And in an orchestra, it's not one instrument or two instruments that's prominent. No, no, no. It's every instrument is supported by and benefits from every other instrument. And when brought in harmony together by the conductor, they make something beautiful. How many of you love a symphony orchestra? I mean, it's just absolutely beautiful. I love it. All right? Well, here's what I want you to get. You can't whistle a symphony. It takes an orchestra to do it. And when it comes to this matter of spiritual gifts, friend, it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about the body and it's about us coming together in harmony under the master conductor that God might do something great in and through our lives and the lives of other people. Listen, God didn't gift us to show off, but to serve. See, I'm afraid there's too many Christians who get the idea that they're in a position to show off, but you know what? God said you're in a position to serve. That was the problem in the Corinthian church. They were trying to show off their gifts instead of serving one another with their gifts. And you know what? They had schisms. They had divisions. They were people looking down on others. There were people in the fellowship that felt insignificant and unwanted and not needed. And all of these things was going on in that church. And Paul is clearing up all of this confusion. And he's saying, listen, let me just tell you something, church. God didn't gift you to show off, but to serve others. It's amazing what can be accomplished, Harry Truman says, when no one cares who gets the credit. Notice, if you would, verse 11. He said, but all these, he begins to list. He said, the one is given by the Spirit of the Word. He begins to list these different gifts. And he says, verse 11, but all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And like an orchestra, each of us has a specially designed place to fill and function to perform. And when yielded to the master conductor, so to speak, something beautiful takes place in our lives. You know what, folks? Somebody has got to be willing to take their place and fill their role so that God can use us in a great way. Someone might say, you know what? They have all those, I hear this all the time, y'all have all those people over there at Calvary. You don't need me, or they're not going to miss me. And you know what? Nothing could be further from the truth. You know what a person doesn't realize is that God has gifted you in a certain way and assigned you a certain place in His body to benefit all the other members of the body. We draw mutual support and benefit from one another so that when you miss serving God with your life as you've been gifted, we're missing out on the benefit that God intended you to bring us through your life. When Christians sit on the sidelines, it affects other Christians because they're not benefiting for how God wants to use you in that local body. It is. So that means everybody's important. You say, preacher, you don't understand. I'm like the little toe. Thank God for little toes. I want mine. Amen. Both of them. Mine lets me know I'm there. When you catch it on the corner of the bed when it's dark and you're getting up. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I know it's there. There was a reason why God gave it to me. I don't want to lose it. Okay? And so there's benefit there. And we recognize that somebody says, well, I'm insignificant. Now here's what I want you to understand. That is not a word of humility. When you say, well, I'm just insignificant, I don't amount to anything, I'm going to tell you something. That is a subtle form of pride. It is. And you're defeating what God wants to do in your life. But neither should I jump up and say, okay, here I am. I've got my gift. Put me in there. Boy, yeah, I tell you what, you hadn't seen anything yet. That's the opposite end of pride. And we have to guard against both. You see, a good dose of humility, not thinking of ourselves at all, and allowing God to work through us benefits the entire body of Christ. But then notice that not only is there a purpose involved, there is a problem involved. And I'm going to give you a couple of problems. That's where I was going to end last Wednesday night, and I didn't get a chance to. There's a problem involved. I'm going to give them to you real quickly. First of all, is the spirituality problem. Okay? The spirituality problem. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, some people think that by discovering their gifts, they will immediately be spiritually mature. I mean, that suddenly they'll have arrived spiritually. Well, if I can just find out what it is, I'll have arrived. What a mistake. The Corinthian church was probably the most gifted church in the New Testament, but they're also the most carnal. Paul said, I want to speak to you as in the spiritual, but I talk to you as in the babes, as in the carnal. He says, you're carnal, you're babes. He said, there's nothing spiritual about you. Discovering your gift won't make you a better or a greater Christian, but it can make you a more beneficial Christian. All right? Spiritual gifts are enablements for service, not evidence of one's spirituality. Listen, I know a lot of carnal preachers. By the way, I've been a carnal preacher before. Sure. Every preacher in here has been carnal at some point or another in their life. And probably more often than we'd like to say. The reality of it is. So just having a spiritual gift doesn't make us spiritual. Number two is the specialty problem. Okay? Here's what people think. All right, well, if they don't have a certain gift, then they're exempt from doing certain kinds of ministry. Okay, I hear this all the time. I'll never forget, I was in Bible college. Not in our college, because we wouldn't let that go on. And I was in Bible college, and the professor got up, and he said, you know what? He said, I know that probably everybody ought to be a soul winner and everything, but I don't have the gift of evangelist. And so I don't witness to people. I just sort of share the gospel through my writings. Well, there's a problem there. Because, see, his is a specialty problem. He thinks you have to have a certain gift to do what God's commanded. All right. Now, is there the gift of evangelists? Absolutely. Are there people that God's gifted that just have an ability to win people to Jesus Christ? Absolutely. But that doesn't negate me from being a witness for Christ, because everybody's called to be a witness. All right. Now, you say, well, preacher, you know what? I realize that there's a gift of giving in the Bible, and evidently I don't have it. And that's why I don't give. Now, has God gifted some people with a special capacity to give? By the way, that means they're rich. Giving has nothing to do with how much we have or don't have. It's a matter of the heart. But has God gifted some people that they just give and give and give and give to the work of God, and it seems like God keeps handing to them because they keep giving it? You see, God doesn't give to a reservoir, but He does when we become a channel. God doesn't give to me to hoard it up. He gives to me so that I can give it away, so I can make a difference in the lives of others. Meets my needs, and listen, if we're all honest tonight, most of our wants. But He also enables us to give to the needs of a ministry and the needs of others and all of that. But just because somebody has a gift of giving doesn't negate the fact that I'm to give my tithes and offerings to the Lord as He's commanded me to. All right, let me give you another one. Do you have to have the gift of mercy to show mercy? No, because God said, blessed are the merciful. So God said, when I show mercy, I'm blessed of Him. But are there some people that they're the most merciful people you've ever seen in your life. And there's other with helps or maybe faith or whatever. And so just because a person has a spiritual gift or doesn't have a spiritual gift, there are certain things that God's commanded all of us to be and all of us to do, whether we have that particular gift or not. But yet God has placed some people within the body and so designed them in a certain area so that they are a specialist in that. And they're continually, it just seems like that they're going above and beyond anything anybody else can imagine because God gifted them that way. Okay, but that doesn't negate that I'm to be a soul winner, I'm to share the gospel, I'm to give, I'm to show mercy, I'm to help, even though necessarily I may not have those gifts. Okay, so we've got to be careful that we don't fall prey to those problems, to think that if I know what my gift is, I'm automatically spiritual. No, you're spiritual when you're filled with the Spirit, and you're controlled by Him, and I'm living life God's way, and I'm doing God's will with my life, and I'm walking with Him. That's spirituality, not just because I have a spiritual gift. Now, listen, but then the specialty problem is, I can't use a gift or the lack thereof as an excuse for doing that God's commanded me to do. All right, letter C. That was letter D, wasn't it? Okay. Now, let's look at one more. And I want you to see that. And that's letter E. Okay. All my notes are all sort of mixed up here, and I'm going to get to them in just a minute. There we go. And I want you to see the place involved. Not only is there a person involved, persons involved, not only is there a plan involved, not only is there a purpose involved, not only is there a problem that we need to deal with, but there is a place that God has designed for these gifts to be used. All right. Look, if you would, in verse number 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now, do you realize that spiritual gifts are specially designed by God to function within the framework of the body of Christ? Okay? You following me? Now, what do you mean by that, preacher? All right? Are we talking about some invisible nebulous out there? What? No, no. The body of Christ is, it consists of those who are saved, all right, and they are baptized into the body of Christ, okay? And it consists of all the saved. But now watch this, all right? Christ's body manifests itself through local bodies of believers like Calvary Baptist Church to carry out His work in the world. And so there's the body of Christ that everybody's a member of. If you're saved, you're a member of the body of Christ. But it manifests itself in local congregations, local bodies of believers like Calvary Baptist Church, because it's through those local bodies of believers that God carries out His work in the world. Okay? Now, there is a, and so we find that there is a, when it comes to this place inwardly and these spiritual gifts functioning within the body of Christ, they function inwardly, okay? That means to each other. Primarily, my spiritual gift and your spiritual gift is used inwardly to mature and to grow and to meet the needs and to benefit the body, this body of believers, okay? So God's placed you here for a purpose. Okay? It's not an accident. God's brought you here. God's placed you here. You're in this family of believers. And God has placed you with a special combination of gifts to benefit this local congregation, this local body, to enable us to be everything we should be, can be, and ought to be for God. And we need each other. And as we minister to one another by using our spiritual gifts, by being what we ought to be, guess what? We inwardly are benefiting, maturing this local body of believers. But then not only is there an inward aspect, there's an outward aspect. Because it's together, we minister to each other, but that's not all. We get outside the walls and we minister to other people like we did this past week. That enabled us to see so many people on our property. That they heard the gospel. Some of them for the very first time in their lives. So many of them were challenged. And you know what? That took an entire body working together inwardly and reaching outwardly to accomplish something great for God. Amen? It took everybody to do that. But then there's upward aspect, and that's to the Lord. Because while horizontally God gifted me to profit with all, that means I benefit these three ladies on the front. And you know what? They all have spiritual gifts, these three ladies, Rita and Miss Nan and Miss Rachel. As they exercise their spiritual gifts and serve, guess what? I'm benefiting from them. All right? And we don't even understand how all of it works. But God says, you know what? Do you understand everything about how your body works? No, but it works together to profit the entire body, doesn't it? And just as that's a mystery, God says, I place you in the body with your spiritual gifts. And as you exercise those gifts, whether we feel it or not, whether we know it or not, whether we understand it or not, we are all mutually benefiting and maturing one another and helping one another grow in Christ. And then upwardly, there is a vertical aspect that I have responsibility for to God to develop and utilize my gift the way He wants me to do so. All right. Now, I want you to think a minute at the marvel and the magnificence of the human body. Isn't the human body an amazing thing? Well, if you don't think so, just think about your heart for a minute, about the size of your fist. Beats 100,000 times per day, pumps blood through 60,000 miles of blood vessels, and in a 24-hour period, it'll travel 168 million, not your heart, but your blood, will travel 168 million miles. No wonder I wake up tired. The brain, amazing, starts developing almost immediately after conception. I didn't know that. During the first months of a mother's pregnancy, the body of that baby is creating neurons at the rate of about 400 million per hour. And inside each human brain are approximately 86 billion neurons interconnected by more than, my notes are stuck together, just give me a second, because I don't know that in my mind. I know you thought I did, but I didn't. I actually have this written down. 100 trillion synapses. You say, preacher, what's that? I have no idea, but I've got about 100 trillion of them. Which science has only barely begun to understand. Listen, if scientists haven't figured it out, you know me, I haven't figured it out. Did you know your brain generates electricity constantly, enough every waking minute to keep a low wattage light bulb fully lit? That's pretty good. You know how we'll say? We'll say, hey, is the light on up there? You know what I'm talking about? There are light bulbs flickering. The brain on average of an average 20-year-old human possesses 100,000 miles of nerve fibers. I didn't know this. Do you know your brain doesn't feel pain? So that means when you have a headache, your brain's not hurting. Something else is. So they actually do surgery on your brain that doesn't feel it. But yet it controls the sensory perception of the pain throughout the rest of your body. Isn't that amazing? All right? So you're in a 24-hour period, the brain of an average 20-year-old human possesses 100,000 miles of nerve fibers. In a 24-hour period, the average person will exercise 7,000 brain cells. Didn't say every person, just said the average person. Okay? Now, that's just not to mention the hands. I mean, the hand is amazing. I could talk about the eye. The eye is an amazing thing. Just as a human body is made up of many different components or members, head, eyes, ears, arms, legs, hands, feet, fingers, toes, together they make up one body. And you know what God says? So also is Christ. Just like there's a natural body has many, many members, He said, my body has many, many members. And listen, I'm here to tell you, a Christian who is not a part of a local body of believers, you're not a functioning member of a local body of believers, will never reach your full potential for God. because you're not functioning the way God intended you to function within His body. You're never going to reach your full potential. You'll never use your spiritual gift to the level that God wants you to use it to. And the reason is that the local church is the place that God has designed for the gifts in His body to be utilized. Okay? And so we utilize them within the framework of a local church, a local body of believers that manifests the body of Christ to carry out His work in the world. You following me? All right, now, I'm going to give you some thoughts and we're going to go home tonight. All right? Number one, I want you to get it. Every believer has a unique place in the body. I want you to get that. Not some, not most, but every Christian, every child of God has a unique place in the body. Look at verse number 14, okay? For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? That's a rhetorical question, which means absolutely it's a part of the body. Verse 16, and if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. And so here's what He's saying. Each believer as a part of Christ's body is uniquely gifted by God to fill a special place and purpose within that body. Okay? So you've got a special place to fill. You say, preacher, all I do is come here and I cover up the cloth on this seat. No, no, no. Whether you realize it or not, if you are being what God wants you to be and doing what God wants you to do, you may never hold a position in the church. You may never be voted on. Your name may never show up in the bulletin. It may be that you're never formally a part of the jail ministry, but yet you're here week in, week out, serving God, praying for this ministry, being a blessing to those around you, letting God use you outside these walls. Can I promise you that you will fulfill a place in this church? But that doesn't mean that's all God has for you. That means that He's just using you in that capacity. He may have even more for you. You see where I'm coming from? All right? So there was a problem in Corinth because, see, here's what Paul was addressing here, and I'm going to help you understand it. Some of them were puffed up. They were filled with pride, showing off their gift. Some of them were speaking in tongues. Some of them had the gift of healing. Some of them had the gift of discerning spirits. And they had these different gifts, and they were saying, look at me. And some of them were mimicking gifts that they really didn't have. They were. See, I believe the gift of tongues that Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians 14 is far different than what Luke writes about in Acts chapter number 2. There it was a gift of languages. When he talks about an unknown tongue, that they were these Corinthians, it was a gibberish. It was absolutely unknown. It was just a bunch of gibberish. And somebody would get up and they'd make some kind of gibberish talk. And somebody would get up and they'd say, well, here's what they said. I know what you just said. Well, you didn't a bit more know what they said than anything. They were mimicking something. They weren't even real. Some of it was satanically induced. Some of it was just human pride. And those that did have a literal gift that was maybe more prominent than another, that means you could see it. Because, see, I've got parts of my body that they're... Now, you may not think so, but my wife does. Better to look at. Okay? I mean, everybody, you know, I mean, I just don't wear sandals. I just don't. You'll never see me in a pair of sandals. I don't wear them. Okay? I ain't have nobody laugh at my feet. Just forget it. I cover it up. That's truth. Am I telling the truth? Yeah. Okay. All right. But now, you know, never mind. You get the point. Okay? And so there was some Corinthians that their gifts, they were those prominent gifts. You see, the gift that I possess as pastor, teacher, is a little more prominently seen than maybe the gift of helps or the gift of mercy. That's maybe a little more behind the scenes. Okay? And those that had these prominent gifts that people could see, they were looking down on those that had the gifts you couldn't see. And they were puffed up. And it's causing division in the church. And some of them thought they were elitists. You know what's sad to say? There's preachers that think they're elitist today. And I just want you to know I'm a sinner saved by grace just like you are. And we're all important to the body of Christ. What you do for God is just as important as what I do for God. Others pouted. And what do you mean by that? That's what Paul's dealing with right here. All right? Now, actually, verse 15, you know what he's doing? He is rebuking them for being childish. All right? The foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Now, here's what he's saying. Okay? Some of them were discontent with the gift that God gave them, and they wanted that prominent gift. And if they couldn't be the part of the body they wanted, well, they'd just take their little gift and go home. You ever known somebody like that? Well, we're not going to play with my marbles. I'm just taking mine. I'm going home. I'm not going to play. Well, you know what you just did? You just cheated yourself out of the blessing, and you cheated the church out of a blessing. Well, I tell you what, if I don't get to teach that Sunday school class I don't want to teach, I'm not serving anywhere. If I can't vote on me, I'm fine. The church ain't vote me. If I can't, I'm just going to take my little marbles and I'm going to the house. That's exactly what was going on in Corinth. And Paul said, listen, you're missing the point. It's not that some gift's bigger or better than another gift. It's that everybody's unique in the body of Christ. And if you don't have an eye, you can't see. And if you don't have an ear where you can't hear. And he's saying that all the parts of the body functions together, and every part of the body is dependent on and needs every other part of the body. And while some of them may be a little more prominent than others, that doesn't negate the importance of what would be seen as a hidden part of the body, or what people would look down on as a lesser part of the body. God said there are no lesser parts of the body. They're all important. So that means there's nobody not important at Calvary. And you know, it's real interesting that he says here, look at verse 18, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him." It don't have anything to do with pleasing you and pleasing me. It has everything to do with pleasing Him. All right? Now listen, God knows better than anyone else where you can best serve Him. You will never be happier or freer than when you are being and doing what God gifted you to be and do within the body of Christ. It is. That's why my granddaddy, when I come and ask him, said, "Dad, how you?" I said, "My granddad," I said, "Papa," I said, "how do you know if you're called to preach?" He said, "If you can do anything else, go do it." I thought, boy, some encouragement that is. That's the best thing he could ever told me. You know, I tell a young guy comes to me and says, "Preacher, I think I'm called to preach." If you can do anything else, go do it. Because if you enter the ministry and you're not called of God, you will be a miserable human being. Because you're not functioning the way God wants you to function. It's not what He created you to do. Every believer, number two, every believer has a unique role in the body. So not only do you have a unique place, you have a unique role. All right. Each part of the human body not only occupies a unique place in the body, but it also fills a unique role within that body. Okay? Within that body. All right? There is an interdependence within the body on every other part of the body. All the parts of the body are necessary for the body to function properly. Okay? And just as every part of the body needs every other part of the body to function properly, so it's true with the body of Christ and the local church. We need each other. Look at verse 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Just imagine if everybody here was a preacher. There'd be nobody to preach to. What good would that do us? What if everybody's a teacher? Imagine this, okay? Let's just imagine that your whole body was an eye. Well, you could see where you're going, but you couldn't hear the train coming. Right? Or imagine you see where you wanted to go, but you don't have any feet to take you there. Because it's just one organ, and it can only do one thing. And it needs the rest of the body to help it function properly. Listen, let me just tell you something. If you step out on a busy street and you see the bus coming, you're going to be glad you got feet to move you out of the way. You understand what I'm talking about? Because if you're just an eye, you're a squashed eye. I've got to have the feet to take it where the eye. You see where I'm coming from? And notice what he goes on to say. Look at our text, verse 20. "But now are they many members, yet but one body." What he's saying here, every believer is uniquely designed, has a uniquely designed role within the body of Christ that only they can fill. Imagine what goes undone and needs that go unmet when Christians refuse to fill their place within the body. Let's finish reading. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Alright? And he's saying what we think are unnecessary, God said they're extremely necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts are more have more abundant comeliness. Now, you mean, preacher, what do you mean uncomely parts? Alright, think about your brain for a minute. How many of you would like to look at a brain? Ugh. Nobody really likes to look at a brain, unless you're a brain surgeon. Or an anatomy professor, then you like looking at brains, but nobody else really likes looking at a real... I'm not talking about a picture in a book, I'm talking about a real brain. You don't really like looking at that. You're glad God covered it up. Alright? And so he's talking about these hidden closed organs, what's on the inside of us. Now, you know what? My brain's more vital than this hand. I'd rather lose my hand than lose my brain. Now, don't some of you go where you don't need to be going and thinking right now. I know where you're going. Don't you even be going there. It's not even spiritual. Okay? So, I'd rather have my heart than my foot. Because if I don't have a heart, and it's not real comely, real beautiful to look at, you know what I'm saying? But you got to have it. Because God said, what I've hidden is actually more vital to the functioning of the body than maybe what you can see. And boy, that's just something right there. You know what? It may be the hidden servants of God that nobody ever sees, that's at home in their prayer closet talking to God about what's going to happen here on Sunday. Amen. And believing God for great things to take place here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or in the Sunday school class. And it may be a group of people that God's given the gift of mercy that are behind the scenes showing mercy to God's people that nobody ever knows anything about. And other people have the gift of helps and encouragement or exhortation, who's maybe writing a card or sending a note or making a phone call that's behind the scenes that nobody ever sees, nobody ever hears. It never makes it to the pulpit. They never get their name called out, but they're constantly serving God and serving God and serving God. And they're doing this. And behind the scenes, God's using them. And it's fueling this ministry and making it go. Amen. And nobody here even knows it's taking place. But I'm here to tell you, God knows. God knows. So don't think that what you do, because nobody sees it and nobody hears about it and it didn't get voted on the ballot, that it's unimportant or unnecessary or it's less than what somebody else is doing. No, God said it might be those hidden things, that those vital organs that's actually the engine that's driving the ministry forward. It might not be what you see at all. It might be what you don't see that's really what makes this thing go. Isn't that interesting? Number three, because I've got to close up tonight. Number three. Can I read verse 24? You say you're going to anyway, you're the pastor. Look at verse 24. For our comely parts have no need. That's what you see. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, no division in the body. Can I tell you, God has diverseness within the body, but He also has unity. And what God wants us to do as a church is function properly as a body working together to accomplish His purposes. Don't be trying to whistle your own tune when you need to be part of the symphony. Then number three, every believer should value every other believer in the body. Is this pretty practical? Look at verse 25. But that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer or get suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Alright, now let me explain to you what that means. Alright, now, you may not value your little toe, but my body values mine. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Because when I stump my little toe on that bedpost, my whole body screams with pain. It's just not that little toe. I mean everything in me. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay? Everybody knows what I'm talking about. If you don't go stiff, you go home and stump your toe and see what you find. Just do a little object lesson. Go home, kick the bed rail, and then tell me what you think. Okay? Everything about you is going to hurt. Your whole body's suffering together. It all hurts. Okay? It's just a little toe. It's insignificant. I mean, you're sitting here saying, I don't even need it. But then you you stomp it really good, and you'll realize how important it is to the whole body. You let you get an infection somewhere in your body, you know what the whole body does? It rushes to that scene of crisis to heal up and protect the rest of the body, doesn't it? Sure it does. It's rushing. All the energy of the body is going to heal up that area, that crisis part of that body. And let me just tell you something. When one member in our church hurts, it affects all of us. Not just some of us. Be careful that we don't get insensitive to the hurts of those around us. Or think that they're insignificant because they're not. They're all important. But then the flip side of that is if one member be honored, they're all honored. The whole body's honored. Okay, now watch this. Somebody comes up and they get honored for something they've done. Everybody's clapping. Then somebody says, well, ain't never honored me. Yeah, they did. They just honored you through that person right there. Because we're all part of the body. Nobody whistles a symphony. It took everybody to make it work. Let me just explain to you what I mean by that. The other Sunday morning, we had a 6 or 8 year old bus kid get saved. Okay. Now, one of our members had the privilege of leading that person to Jesus Christ. That person's name probably is the one that got called out, but they're not the only one that got honored. Because somebody had to drive the bus. Somebody had to give to put diesel in the bus. Somebody had to give to buy the bus. Somebody had to knock on the door and invite the child to Sunday school. Somebody had to ride the bus with them and keep order on the bus and have program on the bus and make sure the bus arrived safely. Somebody had to teach them in children's church. Somebody had to lead the song. Somebody had to do this. Somebody, you see how all that flows together? Somebody prayed at 7:45 for the Sunday for the children's church program. Which one got the credit? Well, in the bank of heaven, everybody did because the whole body's rejoicing. Amen. You see what I'm saying? So when one member's honored, it's really honoring the entire body because it took the entire body to make it happen. Nobody did it by themselves. When anybody comes and gets saved on a Sunday morning when I preach, I just happen to be the one doing the preaching. Somebody else had to plant the seed, water the seed, cultivate the seed, invite them to church, pray over it, welcome them when they came through the door, shook their hand, smiled at them. Somebody may have let them have their seat. Somebody maybe during handshake time reached and walked over and shook their hand and said, we're so glad you and your family's here today. Thank you for coming. Or you can have my seat. Because see, that's the gift of mercy and helps. And you see where I'm coming from? And on it goes. Somebody had to lead the choir. Somebody had to sing in the choir. Somebody had to play the piano. Somebody had to set the table preaching. Somebody had to lead the congregation. We all had to sing together and show forth the love of Christ as a congregation. And it just so happened that I got to be the one who preached that day, that the Holy Spirit enabled them to work in their heart. But I'm telling you what, my part may have been the lesser part. Because if they'd had a bad experience before I ever got to do my part, they wouldn't have listened to my part. That means you did your part well. And all together worked, and God gave the increase. Does that make sense? And that's how God says we function. So it's not praising the preacher. It's not praising this person or that person. If we do ever get any praise, can I tell you this, and I just want to say something now from the bottom of my heart. If anything good happens here at Calvary, you did it through God. And that's just a fact. And God wants us to all function with the gifts He's given us, so that this place can be everything He wants it to be for Him. So I want you to go home tonight and say, God, make me to be everything You want me to be in Your body so that You get the glory and the church benefits and lives are touched and changed to the glory of God because we're all in this thing together. We're a body that's made up of many parts. And every part is important. Let's stand to our feet.